Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And we read for weeks before the election about outside spending and its influence on races, especially congressional contests where individual candidates had no way to compete with the influx of cash from outside groups. So how exactly did the more than $450 million in outside spending play out in the results we saw in Tuesday's rout? Well, the Sunlight Foundation is a nonpartisan nonprofit with a mission of making government more transparent and accountable. And they spent election night doing what they do best, following the money. Paul Blumenthal, the senior writer at the Sunlight Foundation, joins us now to talk about what they found. Hi, Paul. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
And on a party-by-party basis, how did the spending in this race break down?
Well, most of the outside spending was coming on the Republican side. And when we break that down even more and take the party committees out of the equation, because most of the outside spending on the Democratic side was coming from the DCCC, the DSCC, the party committees, we see a large shift of the money on the Republican side coming from these outside non-party groups, these groups that have really been able to sprout up after the Supreme Court Citizens United ruling.
Which races were you watching the closest on Tuesday, and how did you pick the races that you focused most intensely on?
Well, we looked closest at the races with the most outside spending in them, and so most of that was on the Senate side, but we also looked at some House races. But there are some Senate races that you can really start to see an influence based on the amount of money that was coming in. You look at Pennsylvania Senate, Illinois Senate. These are races where if outside groups that couldn't exist before or wouldn't have existed before the Citizens United ruling didn't exist, that there would be far less spending in these races, particularly on the Republican side, against people like Joe Sestak or Alexei Giannoulias. And, you know, the election may have turned out differently in both of those races in that case.
Which organizations do you think have the most influence now? Is it the Karl Rove organizations?
Well, the Karl Rove organizations far and away spent the most among these groups of spending on independent expenditures. When you combine them, it's a pretty large amount that you know, really has the same influence as a party committee would have in an election.
So do you have any sense of who spent money well, in the sense of whose money led to the most wins? Did anybody spend money badly among these outside groups?
Well, you know, it's a pretty big wipeout for the Democrats across the board. And so looking at their party committees, you can, you know, they did pretty poorly where they spent their money. And, you know, that could be because they chose poorly, or maybe they were just defending so many targets, which is the more likely option. You know, the Karl Rove groups did among the best. The Crossroads GPS, which doesn't disclose their donors and raises as much money as they want, won 75% of the races that they were in play on. And on the Democratic side, the NEA Advocacy Fund, that's the National Education Association, won 68% of their races.
How about labor?
Labor, not so good. AFSCME, you know, played mostly for the Democrats, almost, I think entirely for the Democrats, and only won 15% of the seats for Democrats in the races where they were playing.
Now, some huge self-funders like Linda McMahon in Connecticut, Meg Whitman in California, were unsuccessful in their races. Harry Wilson for New York State Comptroller, not at the level of McMahon or Whitman spending, but that's one of the reasons he got that nomination in the first place, was because he had personally deep pockets. What do you make of that? If we are always decrying the fact that, you know, big money spells victory, here we have some very marquee losers from the very deep-pocketed set.
Well, I think that, you know, usually big money spells victory because these candidates are going out and trying to get that money by raising it from interest groups and other groups that actually have a substantial base of connections to human beings. Now, if you're just spending your own money, you're really only connecting with yourself, and you're not really building a network and reaching out to interest groups to try to get votes. So, you know, you often see this. Self-funders actually rarely win election, despite the fears of them. I think the one big one we saw this election was Ron Johnson beating Russ Feingold up in Wisconsin.
So what can you tell us about the target disclosure bill that your group, the Sunlight Foundation, is working to try to get passed? Because one of the astonishing things about all this outside money is that so many people were able to contribute to it anonymously.
Well, yeah, we very much would like to see something akin to the Disclose Act, which was blocked in the Congress prior to the election by the Senate voted 59 votes for it, but it couldn't clear cloture because no Republican would support it. So we would love to see a bill that would simply include disclosure provisions for these outside groups. So many Republicans have said that, you know, they're for simply disclosure, and, you know, we really hope that they mean what they say.
And they said that they weren't for changing the law to mandate this disclosure at this time because it was in the middle of an election campaign and Democrats were just trying to use it to get a last-minute advantage during election season. Do you have any indication that Republicans are going to go back to their long-term theoretical position, which is that disclosure is good? Campaign spending should be free and open, but disclosure is good?
I sure would hope that they would go back to that. They've stated that repeatedly, including, you know, Mitch McConnell, who's known as the Darth Vader of campaign finance reform. He's always been against most of these campaign finance laws, but he's always said that we should have disclosure around this money. The Supreme Court says the same thing. You know, the majority in Citizens United, which allowed a lot of this unlimited money to flow in, upheld the idea of disclosure and said that the Congress needs to enact disclosure laws. The only person who dissented from that was Clarence Thomas, who is apparently against citizens knowing who is spending money in their elections.
Well, this is something that we're obviously going to watch now that there's this big new sieve of money that has opened up after the Citizens United Supreme Court ruling. So Paul Blumenthal, senior writer at the Sunlight Foundation, will continue to try to shed sunlight on the money flowing into politics. And thank you very much for doing some of that with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will preview Hackathon NYC, a weekend event seeking apps for a better city. Stay with us.